This is from Exodus 4, page 61 in the Bibles in front of you. It's Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 to 17. Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so that you can perform the signs with it." This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading comes from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 32. This can be found on page 981 if you wish to follow it in the church Bibles. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side whilst he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they cried, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Can you all hear me? Okay. Do you know, I was thinking as I was sitting over there, I was thinking, do you know, one day when I'm standing at the front of church, I long to be able to say, "Isn't the sun shining? And isn't it such a beautiful morning?" And do you know, this morning I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I've got it wrong again, I'm cold. It's lovely to be with you this morning. As Heather said, this week's been a really good week for me. Not because life, work and all those things have gone really smoothly, but I've had the opportunity to prepare for this sermon, and I've really enjoyed doing it. God's really spoken to me as I've been preparing. So it really is quite nice to be standing here. Sometimes when I'm preaching, it's like, it's been such a long week and it's been such hard work. But actually this morning, it's lovely to be sharing with you. One of the things that I really, really do enjoy about looking at characters from the Old Testament is that we get to find out something about them. They're not just mysteries that we kind of pick up a book and find the name of somebody, and then we sort of have to fill in the gaps as to what that person was like. But so many of the characters in the Old Testament, we find out more about them, where they've come from, who their family is, what their jobs are. And Moses is no different from that. We found out where he started out in life. We found out the journey that God took him on. We found out what his strengths and what his weaknesses are. And then we found out how significant he is in God's plan. He wasn't some character that we've heard about in one book in the Bible and then he disappears. No, Moses' journey was one that's significant, and it's lasted all the way through the Bible. The name mentioned different points through Scripture. When I was at university, I was given a book about Moses. I was given this book just as I was about to take on the role of leadership for our Christian Union. The book was given to me to inspire me. It was given to me to encourage me. And yes, you might be thinking, leadership in a Christian Union, it's not quite the same as Moses' ministry. Moses was asked to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. He was asked to change the mind of Pharaoh. I was just a 19-year-old being asked to take on a role in a Christian Union. But there were over 100 eager students looking at me. And I knew I needed all the help and all the inspiration I could get. That book was read so many times and the pages turned and bits highlighted. Just checking you can see. The story of Moses, as we're seeing over the course of these sermons, is one that's quite remarkable. God had a plan for Moses from the very beginning. His hand of protection rested upon him. Moses went through some really difficult times and he got things wrong. He was led on a journey that was physically and emotionally fairly desperate. He was led into a desert place. A barren, dusty, hot place. But God was waiting for him until the time was right. Last week, if you were here, you would have heard Rob speaking about one of my favorite passages in the Bible, the moment when God speaks to Moses through the burning bush. Every time I hear that passage, it captures my attention. Moses doesn't run away, which I still find quite amazing. There's a bush on fire in the desert. Imagine everything else in the desert around is tinder dry and there's fire. Moses doesn't run. Moses approaches that bush. He takes off his shoes and God speaks to him. Sometimes I have to remind myself that Moses was just a man. Just like me. God spoke to him. Moses didn't say, oh, it's a freak of nature. He didn't get out his phone and start checking to see, well, what could it be? He trusted that it was God speaking to him. Now, as I think about Moses, there are bits about him that stand out to me. I find myself all too often dwelling on those parts of his character that we heard a snippet of this morning. The bits where he's trying to avoid the ministry he's been called into. The verses immediately after Moses approaches God at the burning bush, we hear a series of excuses. We hear Moses doubting what God is calling him to. As a 19-year-old, I think back how full of doubt I was. There were so many excuses I threw before God as I was trying to make that decision. We're going to spend a few moments now looking at the excuses that Moses gave. The passage we had today, we had just a couple of them, but the excuses started right back in chapter 3. And there are five of them. Five excuses that Moses gives to God. The first of them is, who am I to do this? Then Moses says, and who are you? Who are you, God? And then he says, but what if they don't believe me? What if I go and speak and nobody believes? And then Moses says, I'm not able to do this. I'm not gifted in that way. And then finally he says, I'm not available. God, find somebody else to do it. Despite everything, Moses is standing in front of God. He's in his presence. And yet the doubts start to creep in. It's almost as if Moses' focus has shifted. His eyes maybe are no longer on the bush. Maybe, do you know when you see somebody thinking their eyes look up? Maybe that's what's happened. Moses has suddenly thought, hang on, if I go to do what you're saying, I've got to speak to Pharaoh. There's not a good track record with Pharaoh. If I do what you're saying, God, I've got to walk into town and I've got to say, hey, Israelites, follow me. That could be embarrassing if they just walk away and don't follow. Moses has gone from that moment of standing in God's presence, taking his shoes off, and experiencing what it's like to meet the Creator, to thinking, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I could do it. But God doesn't leave it there. God counters Moses' excuses. With every excuse, God has a reply. When Moses says, who am I? God says, don't worry. I will be with you. When Moses says, but who are you? God says, I am who I am. There is nothing else. I am entire. I am complete. I am now. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. When Moses says, but what if they don't believe me? God said, I will give you a sign that you can do in front of them. You can perform miracles in front of them. They will believe. When Moses said, I'm not really skilled at that, God says, I will speak through you. And when Moses says, I'm not really available, can you find somebody else? We read that through gritted teeth, God doesn't give up. He said, okay, you can go with somebody. You can go with Aaron. He will go with you. You will be a team. For the things that you're not feeling great about, for the things you're not comfortable with, he will be there. God didn't give up on that 80-year-old man. He didn't say, you're too old. He said, okay, maybe I've got it wrong. He said, Moses, you are going. You will do what I'm asking you to do. And he teams that 80-year-old up with an 83-year-old, and they both get on. If I'm honest, those excuses that Moses gave are excuses I give. I haven't seen a burning bush. I haven't felt that moment of needing to take my shoes off in God's presence. But I have seen prayers answered. And I do know that God knows me. My time 20 more years ago in CU, at Christian Union, was amazing. And God did amazing things. And during that time I was there, that Christian Union grew. And my faith became richer and deeper. In different ministry roles over the years, I have been truly blessed by seeing God's hand at work. But even despite all of that, I still throw out the excuses when I get a sense that God's calling me into something. God, do you really mean me? God, are you really able to equip me? God, what if it goes wrong? Can you? Will you protect me? God, that's too big for me. I can't do that. God, maybe find somebody else to do it. Maybe those excuses resonate with you. Maybe God is calling you. God is calling you. But maybe you're putting excuses out. Maybe you're fearful of what it would mean to step out. What sacrifices it might mean. What challenges would you have to overcome? For a moment, just take a breath. And as I said to the people at St. Luke's, if you dare to just think about those excuses that maybe you're putting forward to God. Just take a moment to think about how God is calling you and the excuses that maybe you're using to not get up and follow him. In our second reading this morning, we had the story of Jesus walking on the water to his disciples. In many ways, a story that's quite similar to the story of Moses and the burning bush. In both instances, God is showing his power over nature. The bush is on fire, but not being consumed. And then we have the disciples. Having just seen the feeding of the 5,000, they now see Jesus walking on water. Both stories are happening in a hostile place. For Moses, it was the desert. For Peter and the disciples, it was out on a stormy lake. In that second passage, the disciples are sitting on the boat, and they see a figure coming towards them. At first, they think it's a ghost. And then there's this dawning realization that no, it could be Jesus. And then Peter asks for confirmation. If it is you, Lord, call me out. and Peter steps out of the boat. Peter's eyes fixed upon the figure, and for a moment it goes well. Peter steps out onto that water and he's walking. But then something changes. The doubt begins to creep in. Peter becomes afraid. Just like Moses, you can almost get that idea that his focus has changed. Suddenly he's realized that this doesn't normally work. Walking on water is not normal. I can't do this. I don't have the ability to do this. I'm not skilled in this. And Peter begins to sink. And then we know that Jesus reaches out his hand and rescues him and takes him back to the boat. In both stories, both people's focus shifts. Doubt begins to creep in and things begin to go wrong. When I was thinking about this week, planning for this week, I was thinking how both stories made me think about walking on a tightrope. And as I was saying to St. Luke's this morning, it's not because I've had any experience of walking on tightropes at all. But I'm pretty sure if you want to get from one end of a tightrope to another, you keep your eyes focused upon where you're going. And you keep them up. As soon as you start to look around, as soon as you start to look down, as soon as you start to think, wow, I'm walking on something very narrow, that's when you become vulnerable. And that's when the fall happens. Maybe that story of Peter resonates with you. Maybe you feel like you are stepping out of that boat. You are responding to God's call. But there's a moment that's beginning to creep in. There's a thought that's creeping in that, ooh, this is a bit much. And you feel like you're beginning to lose control. I believe that God is saying, it's okay. Like with Moses, God didn't give up with him. Moses made so many excuses, but God stuck with it. When Peter began to doubt, Jesus didn't walk away and let him go under. Jesus lifted him out and rescued him. I'm sure the same's for each of us, that doubts creep in, that as we throw the excuses up, we begin to feel things going wrong. But God is with us. God is faithful. As most of you know, Seth and Esther go to Blue Coat School. So we have early mornings as I take them up to the bus stop at Mottram. And it gives me a chance to listen to Radio 2. And at 7:20, they have their little snippet called Pause for Thought. And if you don't know what Pause for Thought is, it's a few minutes where they get religious leaders to give a thought for the day. Last Monday, there was a lady sharing about a special time with her dad when she was a child. And she would be involved as she'd be involved in theatre performances. She didn't say whether it was through school or whether it was through some kind of amateur thing, but she'd go up on the stage. And she remembers as a child being so nervous about stepping up onto the stage and all these faces looking towards her. But a dad who would faithfully take her each week would say to her, when you get up on the stage, look for my eyes and focus upon them. My eyes will be full of love and encouragement for you. When we connect, when our gaze connects, know that I've got you. When I was sharing this with Seth and Esther, Seth said to me, he said, Dad, do you know what it's like? It's like when we do parkrun together and you finish and I'm coming along and I'm tired and I see you and you cheer for me. So even when I'm tired, even when I'm running out of energy, to know you're encouraging me makes me run faster. This is what I think God is saying to us this morning. We may have our doubts. We may have our fears. We may, like Moses, just continue to give excuses. We may, like Peter, feel like we're sinking. But God is with us. We don't need to have everything lined up and feel that everything's looking perfect before we follow God's call. We don't need to hide behind the idea that the timing's not right. God will do the equipping. God will work out the timing. We just need to fix our eyes upon Him and trust Him and know that He's faithful and know that He's got us. Amen.